He used to play down in the local before he went global. It's a Dusty Sweeney Country Show.
For bling and country, I'll bite into that. Hey, my name's Todd Sweeney, but everyone calls me Dusty. You may know me from one of my previous albums, Bullets and Banjos, 12 songs about whiskey, or Sure Smells Like Country.
Oh.
I'm more country than a truck stop romance, more rustic than a prairie dog's packer. My name's Dusty Sweeney. I'm a country cliche.
I'm a country cliche. Old dirt roads and highways. Whiskey bottle full of hottie. Bless you, Jesus, giving me faith.
They say you are what you eat. Well, I've devoured a lot of country music over the years. As a young boy growing up in Northern Ireland, country was like mother's milk to me. But in this case, it was my father's ample country music chest that I suckled on. His country collection was like no other. My da would send me off to sleep at night with that culinary tearjerker, She Made Loaf Crumble, or the shoot 'em up standard, Bullets for Breakfast, or my favourite Love Lost lyric, My Bed Springs Don't Bounce Anymore. Country music was in my DNA and my record collection. I was so enthralled with the Americana way of life, I even learnt to speak proper American with a Rosetta Stone CD and book called Yank It. Howdy doody, hombre. That roughly translates as, how you doing? In 1990, I moved to London to become a country music star. I guess you could say country music was as niche there as a non-alcoholic Irish lager.
Huh? Country music?
Folks just didn't swallow it. Although I did manage to create a bit of a stir and eventually became a regular fixture and found myself at the pinnacle of the subterranean alternative underground country music scene.
And the golden whiskey bottle for the best mullet in our country video goes to Dusty Sweeney.
In the early 90s, folks were experimenting with all sorts back then. My mid-length mullet and moustache combination will testify to that. It was around then when I heard an electronic dance mix version of old-time classic Cotton Eye Joe. And I became more curious than my hetero-flexible ex-wife Tommy. And joined me flatmate, an out-of-work postman named Eamon the Shaman, at an open-air rave in the Berwyn Mountains of North Wales. Where along with a four-year-old female badger-faced sheep called Gladys, we were unwittingly abducted by aliens. Although there have been many alleged sightings of me over the years in England, mostly playing divorce parties for gratefully liberated spouses with a band called The Breakups.
The divorce papers are through. You've parted. Now let's party.
I can assure you good folks, I was on the other end of the galaxy, getting probed and mind extracted by big-headed intergalactic invaders, who also happened to love country music. When I was on my cosmic country tour, I used my time wisely and saw fit to record a few albums, which included Dusty Sweeney, Live in Uranus, Rootin' Tootin' Shootin' Star, and Dusty, The Late Years. Now, I've returned to Earth again, and since I've been away on my alien abduction tour, the country music that I knew and loved has also been kidnapped by pristine pop country acts who now think picking and plucking is an exfoliation and hair removal treatment. Folks, we've swapped saloons for salons, and even more tragically, folks don't sing about prison or coal mines anymore.
Oh, she could keep you warm like a bag of coal, and she was mighty dirty too.
I want to save country music and make gingham great again. I want to tell the world my story about a parallel country music universe, introduce you to some of its lesser known but no less intriguing characters, forgotten stalwarts, and batshit crazy boondock balladeers. during the Dusty Sweeney for Blingin' Country series, I'll be taking you on an alternative Louisiana hayride through country music's backroads. We'll be stopping off at all the honky-tonks and prison joints. It'll be a trail of tears, alien abductions, and hover herd steer-stroking cowboys. We'll be covering a lot of turf folks, so be sure to pack a hip flask and a gun, just in case. Now, country music has moved beyond the backwater outhouse whistlers to 24-hour TV channels and megastar merchandising. Yes, folks, but that's only part of the picture. I'll be blowing off the dust on its mud-caked and beer-stained image and showing you good folks what's really lurking in the trunk of this beloved hillbilly hay wagon.
Huh?
In episode one, I'm going to try and explain country music to folks as if they'd never heard the sexy, plunky sound of a banjo or the salacious, seductive twang of a pedal steel guitar. Imagine you just crashed your alien mothership in the cornfields of Kentucky. Grandpa's over in the porch playing clawhammer banjo, while Grammy's flat-footing away like a chicken on a hot plate, and you're left there scratching your intergalactic oversized head, wondering, what the hell's a dill pickle rag? Well, hold off on that alien mind extraction, just for a minute. Before Dusty Sweeney's finished with you, you'll be oversized head to toe in gingham, gluing George Jones bumper stickers to the back window of the mothership. So park up the UFO down at Tanya's Trailer Park Palace, and let me show you around. Some folks see country stereotyping as moronic, dumb and down, or even derogatory, whatever the hell that means. I like to see it as empowerment, to have the confidence to wear a bolo tie, fringe jacket and moustache combination, and pay no heed to the naysayers and country fashion police. I fully immersed myself in the country music manifesto from the start, folks. I'm your everyday truck-loving, gun-toting, whiskey-slugging, Jesus-plugging kind of gay. And to prove it, here's a song from my first album, Paid by the Note. It's yours truly, Dusty Sweeney and the Demon Drink, with I'm a Country Cliché.
Ein, zwei, drei, vier. Well, life just throws you lemons. Mama said make lemonade. So I took my pain and I put it into this country song I made. If you could see it in your heart to buy my merchandise, it would ease that pain if you bought right into my musical stereotype. 'Cause I'm a country cliché. Old dirt roads and highways, whiskey bottle for the heartache, plastic Jesus giving me faith. I met her in a local bar. She was cuter than a kitten. A country girl to my country boy, like a dog tick I was bitten. Yesterday she left me, left me nothing but this song. So I guess I'll hit that bottle now and tell y'all how it all went wrong. I'm a country cliché. Old dirt roads and highways, whiskey bottle for the hotties, plastic Jesus giving me
country music is all about conflict. Good versus evil. Bro country versus old country. Mullet versus moustache. Pastor Johnson once said to me, the temptation to enjoy life is too much sometimes. That's why we all have to make sacrifices. He only just cancelled the purchase of his third private luxury jet. What an incredibly selfless act. I know the Lord wanted Pastor Johnson to spread the good word far and wide, and with no expense spared. With its own devoted inbuilt entertainment suite, Divine Multimedia Centre, an onboard heavenly spa salon. On angel's wings, he flies. Heaven's work certainly has its perks, folks. I could be tempted to take up the good book myself and spread the word, if I wasn't such a hopeless sinner. I mean to tell you people, infidelity's rife in country music. Folks just can't keep their corned beef in their own freezers no more. As Pastor Jansen once said, temptation is everywhere. The girl next door, your cousin Sally Ann, or the entire soprano section of the Celtic Banjo Widow's Tabernacle Choir. They're all just a hankering away. Nowadays, folks love to sneak around on the interweb, on country dating sites like Timber or KissingCousins.com.
We're the cousin-loving internet company.
I have to say, I've been having a few issues of my own recently with the old coitus interruptus, as my Latin teacher used to say when he was in the storeroom in the middle of trying to brief the French assistant, Mrs. Frisk. You see, I've been seeing a banjo detoxification therapist, the lovely Donna Pickett, once a week for my three-fingered banjo picking hillbilly addiction.
My name's Dusty. I have a banjo problem.
Now, thanks to Donna, I'm only cruising 4 hours a day on the information highway. Mostly bluegrass banjo, naked Appalachian club dancing, and dogs at yodel.com. Now, I feel I can really talk to Donna about the three-fingered fiend. You know, she doesn't judge me. I had a dream about her the other night. We were holding hands running through a cornfield, banjos akimbo. She was wearing a gingham catsuit, and I was in prison stripes. A wee number I got from the Whale and Jailbird clothing range, down at Connie's dark country-themed couture. She starts putting me in cuffs and a ball and chain, and telling me I'm a very naughty boy. And then suddenly, we both start singing that incarcerated courting classic, We'd Get On Swell in a Prison Cell. Then I woke up. I tell you what, that Smoky Mountain Goat's cheese is some stuff. Now, I know only too well when it comes to sinning. It's easy to fall foul to the fingers of temptation. Fortunately for us, the good Lord tempered our evil hankerings with country music's 7 deadly sins. These immoralities are more outlawed than cow tipping in Kentucky, but they also hold the keys to all great country music. Now, should you defy country music's 7 deadly sins, that won't book you a place in the celestial city, but it will guarantee you a backstage pass through the rhinestone pearly gates of country music heaven, where God's played by Hank Williams. Now, coming right in at number 1 on country music's 7 deadly sins list is cheating. Cheating is a devious and spineless act, but it truly is the backbone of classic country songwriting. We love to sing about finding knickers in the truck and lipstick on his shirt. It's no laughing matter, though, if you're the Mitch that was ditched or the jilted Jane on the receiving end of this clandestine behaviour. I've had my own troubling tales of infidelity with my heteroflexible ex-wife Tommy, who went gambling on the sexual sweepstakes and kissed a girl and liked it. And I was left to explain this to my boy Merle. I had to go past the birds and the bees and straight on to the birds and the birds. Now, Merle, you see, you've got the birds over here and then you've got the bees. But forget about the bees for a minute. You see, that's the trouble, Merle. Your mother forgot all about this bee and now she's swanning around with another bird. Are you getting all this, son?
Huh?
I know. It's very nouveau. It kind of reminds me of the time my father sat me down with a very heavy heart and tried to explain the concept of cooking wine. Anyway, folks, first up on the Deadly Sin Jukebox, I've picked this song because it demonstrates our first sin so inappropriately. It's that dirty, flirting, stinking, two-timing country cheat, Hank E. Panky, with his adulterant classic, Cheating for a Reason.
Baby, when we married you knew I was a country singer. I getting drunk and lay fully paid up cowboy sinner.
kissing my DNA to cheat and stray into the dirt. You'll find knickers in my truck and lipstick on my shirt. So I said, honey, cheating is as country as corn. It's who we are, it's the dirt that we do. Lying and snooping is why I take my pen to write about cheating on you. Cheating is as country as boots. It's in our roots, it's just one of the roots. Heaven wasn't such a staple with the country music faithful, baby. I wouldn't be cheating on you. But you didn't seem to understand. I'm duty bound to be a jerk. And if I'm found guilty as charged, accused of all sorts, that's a good day at work. Getting all flirty with folks, being a two-time and two, that's just a country way. You'll never make it in a country song if you haven't wronged, cheated or strayed. I said cheating is as country as corn. It's who we are, it's the dirt that we do. Lying and snooping is why I take my pen to write about cheating on you. Cheating is as country as boots. It's in our roots, it's just one of the roots. Heaven wasn't such a staple with the country music faithful, baby. I wouldn't be cheating on you. 'Cause cheating is as country as corn.
That sneaky scoundrel, Hanky Panky. Well, we've all been there, folks. The last three-way relationship I had really took it out of me, I'm ashamed to say. I feel like I really let myself down, not to mention the two inflatable dolls. Now, I think it's time for our first commercial break, folks. I'll be back, locked and loaded, before you know it. Are you fed up of those pesky birds pillaging your crops? The all too familiar mocking cries of sparrows and crows reaping what you sow? Is your scarecrow just not up to the job? Well, move over, you stuffed seed sack chump, and make way for the semi-automatic scarecrow. This hay-packed hitman will gladly guard your crops. Yes, sirree. The SAS comes with an AK-47 military-style semi-automatic firearm. He's locked and loaded, and he's a real crow-getter. So don't let those winged marauders and feathered felons get away with it. The number one thatched assassin, the self-loading semi-automatic scarecrow. Farmer Willie Ketchum from Kentucky said, "Thank God for the semi-automatic scarecrow, folks. The birds think twice about unauthorized entry into my earth space. This maniac mannequin's really got my back." Well, Willie, we're only too trigger-happy to help. Hold on to your corn, folks. There's a new straw enforcer in town. The semi-automatic scarecrow. This scaring crow shit just got scary. Now, second up on the country sins jukebox, folks, is lying. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No. Now, come on now. You're talking to me here. All right, then. It is. What? You see what I mean, folks? Lying can be a lot of fun. Telling lies is a real art form, according to my father, who was a part-time clown, covert Russian spy, and also headlined at Woodstock. Oh, yeah. It can really inject some mystique and excitement into your life if you know how to spin a yarn or give a bum steer.
Barry Manilow was a second cousin of mine on my father's side.
No way, John.
Or if you're like Pinocchio, you've got a nose for a hoax and can lay like a rug, you can literally get away with murder. In this new world of fake news, alternative facts and conspiracy theories. The truth is sort of retro, old-school thinking now. It just doesn't have the same intrigue and allure as lies do. I mean, who wants to know the truth anyway? Sure, Donald Trump proved quite conclusively that truth as a concept really is overrated, along with dignity, integrity, and Meryl Streep. I had to tell my dog Licker the other day, even though he knows me as Daddy, I'm not his real birth father. Although myself and the waggy-tailed wee boy do share an uncanny penchant for the booze. I had to break it to him that his real father was an Italian greyhound crossed with a German shepherd. He didn't take it too well. He hit the Guinness very hard this week. That's the last time I'll tell the truth. Anyway, this next song is a tip of the hat and a wink of the eye to Porky Pies. Following on from our father and son heart to hearts, phony Tony McBride is offered some solid advice for life, passed down to him from his dutiful father. In the face of adversity, he urges the young gun to turn his back on ethics and principles and all those outdated righteous morals. Son, don't trouble your mind with the truth. Now when I was a young boy, my daddy'd watch me grow. He said, soon you'll be a man one day, and there's things you ought to know. If you want to get on well in this life, well, here's what you gotta do. You need to learn how to bluff when the going gets tough, and don't trouble your mind with the truth. Now if your wife wants to know why you smell of booze, hey honey, that's my new whiskey flavored cologne. And if your boss wants to know why you didn't show, it's my dog's irrational fear of being alone. It's you round at the bar, oh my wallet's in the car. Get out of there before your goose is cooked. You gotta look him in the eye, tell a big fat lie, and don't trouble your mind with the truth. You gotta learn to lie, son, and falsify. Work every scheme and con. And when needs must, and you got a busted flush, you gotta know how to dupe someone. If you wanna go places, you need to be barefaced when it comes to telling tall tales. You gotta purge and fake and prevaricate, but never let the truth prevail. Now if your wife comes home and you're in the arms of a woman, she was measuring you up for a suit. And if you pass the speed limit and the cops have pulled you in, tell them that the wind was pushing you. When a woman asks if her bum looks big on this, tell her that she's never looked so cute. You gotta look them in the eye, tell a big fat lie, and don't trouble your mind with the truth. Lying toe-rag phony Tony McBride has a proper whopper for every sticky situation. Ain't that the truth? I'll tell you, that fella's got more yarn than my granny's crochet club. What's that you say? Fair play to him though. I just wish I had that kind of confidence and belief. Some folks are just naturals at pulling the wool, and lying is like a second language to them. Now, they say you should start off with a few wee white lies, you know, just to get you going, before you start to work your way up to faking your own death or any of those proper whoppers. All right, love, all right, he's only faking it. Huh? Anyway, making our way down the deadly sins list, we're getting into murky waters now, folks. There's one thing shooting your mouth off, but when there's guns involved, that's a whole new shooting match right there. Yeah. Now, this leads me to number 3 on the 7 deadly sins list. Shooting or killing, whatever pickles your dill. If pain is country music currency, Shooting is a mint where it's all made. Country folks just love the sound of a six-shooter in a song. The mere mention of a gun is like a natural aphrodisiac. Social anthropologists have attributed the 1970s baby boom to exposure to large amounts of gun-crazy country music around the same era. Shoot, who would have believed it? When it comes to mercenaries and hillbilly henchmen, I'm glad to say I won't be hiring this next act for any future hits. It's native Irish blues man and well-known sozzled shaky hand, Eamon Tullow, with his character assassination, Bounty Hunter Blues.
Ah, shit.
I guess I'm just not cut out to be a bounty hunter. There's quite a killing to be made when you shoot folks by the number. There's a big payoff when you slay outlaws, but I haven't made jack. 'Cause I'm a joke at whacking folks, I just ain't got the knack. A steady hand is what you need, but I'm too fond of booze. I got those gunslinging, contract killing, bounty hunter blues. I yearn to be a mercenary like the ones you read in books. I just ain't got that quick fire action, hired assassin moves. You see, drinking and killing folks, well, they just don't seem to fit. When I get those shakes, it really makes it hard to do a hit. A steady hand is what you need, and I'm too fond of booze. I got those gunslinging, contract killing, bounty hunter blues.
Yes, Eamon, we all yearn to be that shooting, hoochin', smoochin' poster pin-up boy. I guess sometimes booze just bats the getter of you. This might not come as a surprise to you, but I've quite the back catalogue of drinking songs in my own repertoire, and I have the empty bottles to prove it. In fact, I was awarded the Golden Whiskey Bottle at the Funny Country Awards in the best use of alcohol in music category for my album 12 Songs About Whiskey. Sometimes in life, you just gotta keep the faith and hold tight to the belief that whiskey will get you there. Booze is like oxygen in country music. It's the air that we breathe, and probably the reason why I haven't had a meaningful long-standing relationship. Country music without booze would be like making a key lane pay without the keys. Our next act on the deadly list is a tipsy tribute to the part booze has played in country music. From rustic lush and slurred country crooner, Drunken Duncan McGraw, with his own homebrewed classic, So Wake Up Duncan and Take a Bow. Deadly Country Sin Number 4, Boozing.
Okay, where do I sing?
Country music without booze is like a blind guitarist without the blues. When you need that perfect blend, take pain and hurt at liquor end. Murder ballads, dirge laments, they all need intoxicants to get them feeling on the edge. Try heavy duty beverage. Country music, you'd be nothing without booze. There's a shotgun waiting for you to shoot inside every bottle of booze. Country music without booze is like dynamite without a fuse. When you need something to spark, to twist the knife and make it dark. For desperation and despair, try some homemade liquor. Let's hear it for that moonshine hooch, the fire, water, and jungle juice.
country music. You've been nothing without boozing. There's a wife getting ready to...
It sounds like Drunken Duncan could do with a few days off the old Mountain Dew and get a bit more control over that tongue of his. Of course, booze is a big factor in folks losing their minds, their wives, husbands, and control of their heathen mouths.
For Jesus' sake.
This leads me nicely to deadly sin number 5, blaspheming. Now, religion is a recurring theme in country music life. God sort of feels like one of the band.
Plastic
He's kind of like that dude that doesn't drink and drives the van. When it comes to the Bible, if Jesus did it, country folk will let you know about it. It would seem, therefore, unconventional for a fully fledged country act to buck the trend and get their moral guidance from God's one and only nemesis, the devil. Now, here's the thing about the devil. According to my conspiracy theorist friend, Fibber O'Reilly, the devil was cast out of heaven by all the other angels because they couldn't stomach his hellish high-pitched bluegrass singing and incessant banjo picking. The devil, or Satan as he's preferred to be billed now, decided on a solo career and employed a high-end PR company to invent the hoofed, horny demon blood-red colour scheme and hell-raising behaviour. He was outlaw country when Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings were starting fights in kindergarten.
Waylon punched me.
Needless to say, with his reputation, she couldn't get a gig anywhere. All that hellfire and brimstone pyrotechnics. What? Who's going to ensure that? Anyway, this next song's a tip of the hat to old Lucifer. You could say this country tribute is more Beelzebubba than Beelzebub. When it comes to country music, it's a real atheist's anthem. From the blaspheming demon, unholy Joe and the Hobbs of Hell, with their heathen harmony, if I don't make it to heaven, there's always hell.
Now it's pretty clear after all these years that I've been in this world. I ain't put my place through those pearly gates. I guess I get what I deserve. You see, I haven't been so squeaky clean. And when it comes to my farewell, I'm anticipating hanging with Satan in the lobby bar of his hotel. If I don't make it to heaven, there's always hell. 'Cause old Lucifer don't care if I behave myself. I can drink and cheat, that would be just swell. And if it gets too hot, a little whiskey on the rock should help. Since I was young, I've always done things that might seem out of place. I robbed a bank, dressed in drag. You should have seen the teller's face. I had whiskey for breakfast, pills for lunch. I got higher than the Empire State. I guess I strayed from the righteous way. I wasn't just good at being bad, I was great. If I don't make it to heaven, there's always hell. It don't matter a tick to old Nick if I behave myself. I could pick a fight with who I like and won't get expelled.
Well, that's a whole lot of prairie dog talk right there, folks. Pardon my profanities, but Unholy Joe's as nutty as a squirrel's turd. Still, it's a great wee number, blaspheming aside. Now, while I try to contemplate the afterlife and an all-expenses-paid holiday at Hotel Hell as conjured up by Unholy Joe, let's hear a word from one of our wonderful sponsors. When it comes to dating, have you set your standards too high? Fed up of getting that slap in the face or beat it, you hideous loser, every time you proposition a hot girl or boy? Do you constantly imagine yourself with that film star hunk, that ripped hot fireman rescuing you from the hay barn blaze that you probably started? Well, don't kid yourself any longer. Please, allow us to. Down at the Beer Goggles Boutique,
We can do wonders with ugly munters. Our four sheets to the wind soft focus shades can really make a minger look like a winner. Mm. Short and pasty sure looks tasty. Mm. Down at the Beer Goggles Boutique, we'll find the right sozzled specs for you. If you need something a little stronger to bring that skin-deep beauty to the surface, try our Moonshine Magnetism Fully Loaded Focal Lens, which scientifically replicates the effects of 5 solid days on the hooch. Yeah. And ladies, from our shit-faced tasty range, we introduce Blind Drunk Hunk, the Miracle Drinker Blinkers. Standards? What standards? From blitz to beautiful at the Beer Goggles Boutique.
Hey, everybody looks like models through our beer goggles.
Now, we're all chance takers in one way or another, whether it's signing your life away down at Charlene's Shotgun Wedding Parlor.
At Charlene's Shotgun Wedding Parlor, the up-the-duff wedding buff.
Or just picking the right buckle to go with a new bullet belt. Some folks just take risking it to a whole nother level. They love the thrill of the unknown. A bit like when I tried going sober there for 2 weeks last year. I had it totally reached within myself, folks. I don't know where I get the strength from sometimes. Yes, I'm talking about those have-a-go heroes who jeer at jeopardy, wisecrack at recklessness, and mock in the face of menace. I'm referring to country music's sixth deadly sin, gambling. Losing it all on a poker game, falling into a whiskey bottle, and shooting folks in a drunken rage. As a songwriting formula, it's kind of hard to beat. Now, saloons have long been a feature of country and western life. It's where disputes get settled, blood gets spilled, and shooting irons are the last word. It kind of reminds me of my metalwork class in my old school. The teacher had to count your eyes on the way out the door.
Who threw that?
Folks lived on their wits and were quick to temper. Many historians put that down to the heavy fabric and highly abrasive weave in their pants, and constant daily chafing that they had to endure. I can highly recommend Uncle Gene's Saddle Rash Cream, folks.
Oh, and that ring of fire is blazing and those cheeks are chafing. Try Uncle Gene's Saddle Rash Cream.
I'll tell you, folks, when it comes to chafing, it's like a magic bullet. Now, here we have the 1970s classic, You Loaded the Dice, So I Loaded the Gun, by mandolin renegade Kenny Strummett, where he starts off at the crap table shooting dice and ends up shooting up the whole place.
You loaded the dice, so I loaded the gun. You cheated me, boy, so I shot you down at the poker game. You had an ace up your sleeve.
Why, you
but I carried a hand that you couldn't beat. You loaded the dice.
Get ready to draw.
So I loaded the gun. You fooled me once, boy. You won't fool me again. You thought you'd be wise, but I guess you never planned.
Bartender, give me a whiskey.
That you'd lose your life with the dead man's hand.
Boy, that Kenny Strummett's got some anger issues. I find listening to John Denver really helps. Now, old Grandpa Sweeney used to say, son, never gamble on anything you're not prepared to lose. Ironically, shortly after that, Grandpa lost his mind. Although he loved playing poker and blackjack with his friends, but as the years passed, the shootouts and the body count got too much. Granny used to say he could start a fight playing solitaire.
Huh?
Okay, folks, sin number 7. Unlucky for some. Is rustling or stealing. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's horse. I believe this to be a loose interpretation of the God-fearing guidebook. It could easily refer to your wife or your George Jones record collection. Stealing is normally seen as an undesirable, deplorable crime in most folks' eyes. But what if it were like the plucky and noble English thief Robin Hood, who stole from the rich to give to the poor? Could we condone or stomach such a selfless act? Well, this next little ditty is one such example. It's a heartwarming little tale about a young and virtuous cattle rustling cowboy whose mission in life is to set all his bovine friends free from the fate of sesame seed burger buns and extra spicy barbecue sauce. It's none other than plant-pushing tofu militant soy boy, Herbie Vore, with his brilliant meat-free ballad, The Bovine Kid.
Ooh. I'm a lonely vegan cowboy riding on the range. I'm a hugger herd steer stroking dew. I'm just looking out for cows and bulls that I can save. I just don't see my beefy friends as food. I'm a full-time rustler, freedom fighting for livestock. I've nicked every kind of bovine and cattle. I don't get holidays, I work around the clock. Spurred many's a herd from Houston to Seattle. I don't believe in barbecues, burgers, steaks or ribs, 'cause I'm the vegan cowboy.
Herbie Vore, what a great guy. You know, it's made me think about Steer in a different way. I never really thought of them as friends. Most of my friends are drunken bums or failed musicians. It looks like I've been barking up the wrong tree. Maybe I need to hang out round more dairy farms and get to know some livestock. I suppose it's just a simple choice of what's more important to you. A great bovine buddy. Our finger-licking good barbecue food.
Lovely.
On that very note, here's another word from one of our fine sponsors. Oh,
yeah. Holy cow, it's Hank's Blessed Barbecue. All our burgers and ribs come from the Holy Smoke Baptist Cows. Brought to you from Pastor Johnson's farm-friendly evangelical church. Our Closer to God burger and fries menu tastes heavenly. If you're feeling more peckish, try our Noah's Ark 2x2 menu. They come in biblical portions. At Hank's Blessed Barbecue, our Hallelujah Miracle meat range has been cured and brought to life by the Pastor Johnson himself. Don't forget to try our Hank's Sacred Barbecue Sauce, a recipe that dates back to Cain and Abel's Old Testament Fire and Brimstone Burger Palace. It's the last name in suppers, Hank's Blessed Barbecue. Divine food.
That Pastor Johnson's literally got his fingers in every meat pie. I hope my interpretation of country music's seven deadly sins have helped you to understand the kind of musical chorale that herds and ships are alternative country stars. There's certainly other sinful contenders that we could add to the list, like country yodeling, which many folks believe have dragged the genre into a mire of mockery. And this kind of tomfoolery has no place in the serious church of country music. Some folks see yodeling as a sexually confused cry for help. Pastor Johnson certainly doesn't promote this kind of liberal mountain vocalising down at the farm-friendly evangelical church.
Let us pray, brothers and sisters.
We've only scratched the surface, folks. Just a mere flesh wound. Our hillbilly hayride will take you mind and body to the outer limits of the parallel country music universe. Brothers and sisters, I'll be getting the wagons in a circle in episode 2 of the Dusty Sweeney Cosmic Country Show for Bling on Country, in a bid to protect our beloved country music from the imminent threat of modern country. These soft, so pristine country protagonists have sadly besieged our wonderful country traditions and overrun us from every side with their pop-tensed melodies and their hair-straightened silky ways. We need backup, folks, and we need it fast. I'll be locked and loaded and leading the cavalry charge on this crusade, but we could certainly do with your help too. As my granny used to say, it takes a whole circus to raise a clown. So be sure to feed up on an all-home-cooked helping of Dusty Sweeney's country fair. For bling on country. Until then, keep paddling that paddle steel guitar and keep your high hand low. My name's Dusty Sweeney. I'm a country cliche.
I'm a country cliche. Old dirt roads and highways. Whiskey bottle for the high.